Hey, yo.
You are now locked in.
Yo, about to shut it down.
You are locked in
to Canada's number one.
You know what it is?
Canada number one. Urban Top Mix Show.
We about to get this popping right now.
The Nifty Christian Radio Show.
Nifty Christian Radio Show.
With your host.
Check this out.
Oh, yeah.
Nifty and KC.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
Let's get it popping.
I know this might seem out of pocket, but I wanna soar like a rocket. Aim for the stars. I will not short on God.
I'm
if
I fall,
Jesus. I fall on Mars. My hand on my heart. I pledge that I never stop trying. Cause these babies never stop dying. Cause these streets never stop lying. Four words, trust in I am. Yeah, this dream just won't leave me. Where I got a name that's bigger than Stevie. Wonder where the tour bus gon' leave me. Make a big fuss when I flash on your TV. I got fans screaming my name, they chanting. Do you think Sean as I hop out the Phantom? Walk through paparazzi like someone's playing my anthem. Slow motion on them, throw poses on them. Dusting off my shoulders like I throw lotion on them. Grammy after party, glasses up, toast on. I woke up all sweaty. This life is so seductive, but it feels so petty. Cause these children ain't got a bed to sleep on. And mama bought a pillow just so she can weep on. 8 years old and already getting a freak on. All without a voice, so mama speak on, preach on. I know this might seem out of pocket, but I wanna soar like a rocket. Aim for the stars. I will not short on God. If I fall, I just fall on Mars. My hand on my heart. I pledge that I never stop trying. Cause these babies never stop dying. Cause these streets never stop lying. Four words, trust in I am.
I heard a story about a girl who was six. Caught in the school bathroom turning tricks. Told a social worker that she's really fond of chicks. She said she got a husband and he deals drugs. Who was a 7-year-old boy turned thug. He told his teacher that he gon' pop her with a slug. You ask him what he wanna be when he grow up. He says a trap star gang signs thrown up. Don't think that it's not really happening. At the crack of dawn you hear gunshots crackling. Babies ain't napping. Only 19 got a basketball team and the baby dad's absent. It make me so mad I could throw a television. Every time you buy my CD I sell a vision. I wanna feed the kids in Soweto, but I first gotta start with the youngins in the ghetto.
Let's go. I know this might seem out of pocket, but I wanna soar like a rocket. Aim for the stars. I will not short on God. If I fall, I just fall on Mars. My hand on my heart. I pledge that I never stop trying.
Why?
Cause these babies never stop dying.
Why?
Cause these streets never stop lying. Four words, trust in I am.
See, God's plan is not for everyone to be rich. He had a plan for you when you was just a fetus. But Sean, I've lived a life so egregious. That's why he wanna hook you up with the remix. Every pain can be turned into a victory. He shapes your future and forgives you for your history. He's the rock on which I stand. Put your trust in the great I am. The great I am.
I know this might seem out of pocket, but I wanna soar like a rocket. Aim for the stars. I will not short on God. If I fall, I just fall on Mars. My hand on my heart. I pledge that I never stop trying.
Why?
Cause these babies never stop dying.
Why?
Cause these streets never stop lying. Four words, trust in I am.
Yeah, welcome to the Nifty Christian Radio Show, 4 minutes after the hour. Thank y'all so much for joining us, Nifty KC. We are your hosts.
Yes,
what's good,
hello,
everybody?
Hello.
Miss K Sizzle?
Sir Nifty.
Wagwan.
Wagwan.
Had to bring her, you know, the Jamaican Rasta man.
The yardy talk.
Yardy.
Call it.
Yardy talk. Oh, man. Thank you all so much for joining us today. That was my man, Sean Slaughter, with Trust and I Am. And we got a great, great show that we have planned for you. But just before we get into that, man, I mean, you know, okay, it's been a while, man. Like,
that's true.
How you been, man?
That's true. I had a birthday.
Oh, yeah, man. You're old now.
I'm not old. Thank you very much.
Am I allowed to ask your age on air, or is,
you
is
do
that
this every
is that, is
time.
That like restricted?
You do this every
yeah,
time.
I know.
I think last year you asked me to, and I think I said I was 29.
Oh,
so I am now 30, the big 30.
You're a dirty 30.
Dirty 30.
Why does it feel 30. Like? I mean, okay, you know, I mean, 30 is like a milestone age. Does it feel different?
No. My dad says it's my last year of youth. Technically.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. I still feel fine. I still feel like maybe, I don't know, physically I feel about 25, 26. I feel okay. And, you know, I think I like to think that I still pretty much look young. Younger than my age at this point. So, you know, hey, it's a state of mind. Age is a state of mind.
I hear you.
All right? You know, it's a matter. It's mind over matter, as Mark Twain said. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter. So that's how it is. And, you know, it's been enjoyable. I had a fun birthday.
What'd you do?
I stayed in. You know what? I've been getting over a very nasty cold.
Hence the break on the show.
Yeah. You too.
Yeah, I was sick too.
You too. Nifty came and spread his germy germs to the rest of us. And I was laid out for quite a while. I am just now starting to feel better. I still have, you know, a bit of a cough.
Yeah.
But I'm better. I am much, much better than what I was. Got a lot to talk about, I guess. I wanted to ask you and everybody listening about something that happened to me, what you guys would think about something that happened to me just this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Jumping off topic of being sick. yeah, because this is how I think, right? There's this complete randomness. So my husband and I were going out to dinner. It was date night. So we went out to dinner. And we're about to enter the restaurant when we're stopped by this, I'd say, middle-aged guy.
Yeah.
And he approached my husband first, and he said, you know, I'm sorry to interrupt your night out with your lady and all, but could you please help us? Now, he was by himself, but he said, could you please help us?
Mm-hmm.
He went on to say that he and his 10-year-old daughter were basically out on the street. They were living out of a motel room, and he had run out of money, and he only had one night to go before they would be on the streets. He was waiting for some insurance money to come in, but that wouldn't be for another few days. So until then, they were living out of a motel and he was out of money. He needed $60 to manage one more night at this motel. And so far he had 30. And I saw the look on my husband's face, but for some reason, I just, without thinking, I pulled out my wallet and I gave this man $40.
Aww.
Now, I've never given someone this much before. I've given $5. I've given $10.
Yeah.
And thought that was a lot. You know, I give $2.
Yeah.
You know, and so $40. I was planning to do my hair with that money. But whatever. It just felt like something just pushed me to do so. So I gave it to him. And, you know, going to the restaurant, my husband goes, wow, you're good to have done something like that. And I'm like, well, why? And he's like, you fell for it? And when he said you fell for that, I felt kind of stupid. I was like, really? Did I really fall for it? I mean, have I been deceived? Because, you know, when you give on that level, there's always that part of you that wonders, what are they going to use the money for?
Yeah, of course.
So my question is, do you guys think I did the right thing? Or do you think I was naive in giving someone so much?
You absolutely did the right thing. I mean, if the spirit led you to do that, the last thing you want is to proceed with the night thinking I should have given it, because you would have felt worse.
I guess.
You know what I mean? Like, you kind of have to view it that way. Me, I'm very cut down the middle with that. There are times where I believe it's a scam. I truly believe with all my heart that it's a scam, and I don't do anything. There are times where God pushed me. You know what? You know, just give him $10. Give him $15 or $20 or whatever.
Yeah.
It really depends on if I feel the push or if I feel convicted to. And I believe I know God's voice in my head when he says, you know what? Do it. as right. opposed to don't do it. And one thing that you just said was you paid attention to the detail because he said, can you help us? And he's by himself.
Yeah.
I think if I had heard that, I might have been more inclined to give. Because that's a small detail that mm-hmm. I don't think a scammer would have said.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you're by yourself, you won't be thinking us.
Yeah.
So that means that there was truly somebody else involved. And, mm-hmm. So you were pretty good to pick up on the detail.
I paid attention to that. He even had a motel key in his hand.
Yeah.
For the room.
Yeah.
Right? And I looked at all of them.
Most scammers don't have that much detail, like the ones on the street, I mean.
Yeah.
Right? So,
you know?
I think you did the right thing, me personally.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, I comforted myself with the fact that I know that I gave with the truest of intentions, with
yeah.
nothing but, you know, the purest of intentions, nothing but goodwill.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to see him okay, and I hope that his daughter will be all right. And if it indeed turns out to be a scam or a story, God will deal with
God
that,
will bust right? his behind.
God will deal with that. Yeah. God will deal with that because I think I did my part. I think I did what I could do.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And you know what's? I mean, it's interesting. You know, a lot of, especially Christmas time, a lot of people tend to take advantage, but there are still a lot of people who are still in need.
Especially right? that so, time of year, it's
yeah,
hard.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and Canada is a cold place around wintertime, and it's an even colder world when you have no place to go.
1-877-44-NIFTY. How do you decipher if you feel somebody is scamming it or if you think that it's a legitimate story?
Yeah.
I think you did the right thing. I know with me, it really is case by case. I don't have a template or a cut, you know.
Well, me either.
A templated
me
answer
either.
For that.
Me either. But,
you know,
I've never given someone that much money before.
Yeah.
$40. To me, I mean, I'm not rolling in it. You know what I mean? To give someone
bowling.
$40.
Yeah.
For me to give someone $40, it's a big deal to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the most I've ever given just offhand.
I believe the Lord shall reward
you. I've helped people with a lot more, but that's family. I've helped family
yeah.
with a lot more, but
yeah.
complete strangers to just pull out money like that, it's something different.
So
you know, well, you know, God, the rest remains to be seen, and it's in God's hands.
It is.
I did what I could, and I don't really regret that much. Whenever I think of the fact that, you know, if it was a lie, God will handle that.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that I did what I could do, as I said, and I think God is pleased with me for that.
And trust me, He's pleased with you, and trust me, if it was a lie, God would bust his behind. Trust me, man.
Alright.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, as per title of the show, we have such an amazing show lined up. Sean Slaughter versus Nifty versus myself. As many people know, we're both artists. And
long-awaited meeting.
We're both the hosts of controversial Christian talk shows. Essentially, we tackle topics, and we got some things that we need to talk about. So later on today, I'm going to be talking to Sean Slaughter about some things, and air out some things,
mm-hmm.
and we'll see how that goes, and we'll try and get some things hashed out.
Interesting.
So please stay tuned for that.
It should be a good one.
It should be an amazing one, man.
Mm-hmm.
But trust me, man. It was a pretty interesting meeting. So stay tuned for that later on in the show. We're also going to be taking some calls today and discussing a couple things. We'll be responding to the Hyphenated Name show. That was a very popular show.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people weighed in on that one. You know, in terms of should a wife take her husband's name, or is it okay to hyphenate her name?
Yes.
A lot of opinionated people on that one, on both ends of the spectrum. So we'll have a follow up on that today, and we're also going to be discussing today Christian male escorts.
Yes.
I got an email that this dude is thinking about taking this type of job overseas. So we'll be looking at that very, very briefly, and I'll give my two cents on that. And right now, we'll get into a track by my man Mark J called Vanity Fair. And just before we get into this, man, log on to niftychristian.com. Mark J has just dropped
one heck of a video.
The illest video of the year by far, featuring my man Sho Baraka.
And, who can act?
Yeah, the dude can act, man. You know what? Them Reach dudes. Trip Lee can act too, and Sho can act.
Yeah, but Sho. And the thing is, when you watch the video, you'll see, but it's not so much the show says anything. It's all in the face.
Yeah,
great. All the facial expression.
Great facial control.
Amazing.
Great video, man. And Tumbling Down, it's a storytelling track. And it's always risky when you do a video that matches the words, you know, completely.
Yes.
It was basically a literal interpretation of the track. And, you know, I find those to be a bit risky. But this director, Space Cherry Films, man.
They pulled it off.
They pulled it off. The video was well done. You can log on to niftychristian.com right now on the right-hand side, and you can check the video, man. Great, great job. Well done by Mark J and team. And this one's called Vanity Fair, man, by my homie Mark J. Keep it locked, and we'll be right back.
Hit you off with the newest homie hip-hop and R&B music first.
The Nifty Christian Radio Show.
Yeah, it's your man Mark J. I'm back. I've learned some things in Solutions I want to share with y'all. An everyday world, everyday people. Let's go. Valleys to avenues, to alleys, to mountain views. Welcome now, shall we move from Cali to Peru? I came to rally troops, the afterlife's the basket. My music's alley-oops. Jump out this world and see it for what it really is. Smoking mirrors, choking clearer the message who Jesus is. Blinded glare, stuck on stare in Times Square. Nightlife, bright lights, party right here. LA Hollywood, cruising Rodeo Drive with one-way models, popping them bottles and they all high. We getting high off bussing texts, taking X, taking meth, Learjets, winning bets with card decks, switching sex. This world's gassed on petrol, moving faster than techno. Had to let go of the pedal and step slow. Your life is a summation of choices, don't lead to calamity. The richest man who ever lived called it all vanity. Janeiro Carnival where the samba be thumping. From Burj Al Arab in Dubai to Boulevard Saint-Germain Paris for the clothes that make you fly. Get your drink on at Riva in Berlin, then head to the beaches of Fiji for waves like whirlwinds. Divas driving Bugatti with Bulgari and Van Cleef and Arpels to cast. Rocking Eugenia Kim hats with Christian Louboutin shoes to cruise. Marchesa dresses hiding them sexy La Perla clues. Don't get it twisted, ain't nothing new. Ecclesiastes too, grasping for happiness in the wind, but ending with sin. Different time and brand names, but the game remains the same. Since the parable of the young ruler Christ proclaimed, life is a summation of choices, don't lead to calamity. The richest man who ever lived called it all vanity.
Il n'y a aucun avantage à tirer de ce que l'on fait sous le soleil.
Warning.
Yo, yo, yo. Nifty and KC, what's going on? It's Jason from South Carolina, but I'm from Miami, so Miami boy. Really appreciate your comments. Thank you for airing it. It really means a lot to me. I went ahead and had my wife listen to it, the whole thing, and I'm going to have her do that. I haven't done it yet, but I'm hoping that, you know, get some tears in the eyes and give me some romantic brownie points. Yeah, get it, baby, get it. Anyway, hey, I love the topic you guys are talking about, the whole hyphenated name thing. Here's my two cents. I'm totally exactly 110% exactly to where you guys are at. if my wife were to say, hey, I'm not going to take your last name, then I would seriously be thinking if she would even want to be with me or not, because, you know, the way that I look at it, you know, I'm putting my life down the way that Christ would put down his life for the church, and that's what I'm being called to. And I'm thinking that if I'm doing that for you and that's not good enough for you to then be proud of me and have my name with you, you know, and you take your identity from your man, then I wouldn't be confident as to where the marriage will end up going and if we have the same goals at that point. So I totally agree with that. And the second point, I am a school teacher, so I actually posed this question to my kids, high school teacher, and many of the females said that they would hyphenate, and when I had asked why, and after I probed into it, long story short, they've never seen a real man in the house, a biblical man. You know, most of the men that they've seen are sitting down, watching TV, eating, you know, just slacking off or whatever, and they've seen the mom doing everything. So they're like, why am I going to take my husband's name if that's all he's going to do? And I felt that would be really sad, and I told him, like, it's probably because you guys never seen what a real man looks like. If you guys can see what a real man looks like, then you'll be proud and you'll be looking forward to being in partnership and being teammates with this guy who's going to be there for you more than just financially. You know what I'm saying? So my two cents, hey, love y'all show. I listen to it faithfully every week. Keep doing what you're doing, man. Thanks a lot. Peace.
Yes, yes, man. Welcome back to the Nifty Christian Radio Show. 21 minutes after the hour, man. That was my man, Mark J. with Vanity Fair. And after that, man, you heard a caller, my man Jason, weighing in on a show that we did a couple weeks back on hyphenated names, one of our most popular shows for the year, man.
He raised a very, very good point.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, man. You know what? I never
thought of it that way.
I think I have to apologize to a lot of the females. I think I need to issue an apology. The breakdown of his call was that a lot of women don't feel that there's real men out there, and they don't feel it's necessary for them to take a name of someone who's not a real man.
That's a very sad indication of the state of the world today.
It is, but I can't fault that logic.
No, he's right.
I can't fault it.
I still, though, think that you were correct in talking about the hyphenation being an indication of a certain mindset.
Yeah.
Because what I didn't mention in the last show
mm-hmm.
was my mother, who started the whole thing.
Yeah.
And felt that I was being old fashioned by taking my husband's name, even though she's taken my dad's name. She is one of the most independent women that I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was and always has always been very career minded.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that she left us with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
She left us with our father for quite a few years while she went off and went off to school and got extra degrees,
mm-hmm.
and worked on her profession.
Yeah.
Worked to the point where she's at the top of her profession now.
Yeah.
But she's missed so much of her lives. So much. She's not around. She wasn't around for special occasions. She, like, my dad would have to do my hair. I was like 8 years old and my dad is doing my hair, and I hated it. I hated the way it would turn out.
Yeah.
You know, my hair sticking out in every direction. But looking back, I know how it's amazing how hard he worked to
yeah.
take care of us when we didn't have a mom. And my brother, for instance, you know, sort of missed having a mom around because he was really young when she left.
Mm.
So there were certain repercussions
yeah,
for
yeah.
her absence.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of thing that you can't get back. But it was always due to this independent, I want to do things my way.
Yeah.
We moved, I'm Trinidadian by birth. We moved from Trinidad when we were kids
mm-hmm.
to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't want to stay.
Mm.
She went back to do her own thing.
So her career and so forth.
Because
yeah.
of her career. It was her career that pulled her back. She was like, no, I can't start over.
Yeah.
I'm doing too well. So she was at this point where she would forego family
yeah.
for her job.
Mm.
So again, it's the mindset.
It's an independent mindset.
I am a single. She acted and behaved as if she were a single person.
Yeah.
And essentially, that's what she became. Now,
my parents would tell you that they're still married today, but what they did was carry on a very long distance relationship.
Yeah.
And that's very difficult to do. Not everyone can do that, and I commend them for it. I don't know that I could do it, but it's because of my mother's decisions.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And that is not something that would sit well with a lot of men. That particular mindset.
No, I hang on to my point that I still fully believe that if you want to hyphenate your name as a woman, there is an independent mindset, and independent mindsets are not for marriages, because in marriages you should be dependent upon each other.
Mm-hmm.
I hang on to that belief wholeheartedly. What has kind of opened my perspective from Jason's call is the reason for the independence. There are some women who just want to prove it to themselves. And there are some women, like in Jason's case, his classroom's case, where it's done out of necessity. In the case of his classroom, because he's a school teacher, and as
he
mentioned,
they don't know how else to be.
These women don't know what a real man is,
yeah.
So they have to be independent. It is necessity.
Mm-hmm.
And if from that perspective, I cannot fault them.
No,
from
I mean,
that perspective,
if
you know what I mean?
If that's what they're faced with, and they never had a real man in their lives, then you can't necessarily blame them for that attitude. But others who, you know, haven't necessarily had that issue.
They've seen real men, and they grew up with, a father who did his thing, or, they're married to a guy.
And their husband is indicating that he is a real man.
Yeah, he's
taking care of your kids.
He's doing his thing.
You know, using you, not using you, but he's your springboard
he's
pushing
your provider,
you to success.
And supporter, yeah.
All these things, that's what a man does.
Yeah.
And you should have no problem.
Yeah.
Wearing that man's name as your title.
And I think Jason also made another good point about the real men. I mean, if you as a woman are dating or married to a real biblical man, a man who's doing his thing for God and doing his thing for his family, for yourself, I think you should definitely take the step and not hyphenate your name.
You should be proud.
And be proud
to
have a man
to be of him.
Like
really.
That, you know? And if he's not a real man, then you know what? I can't fault you.
Why are you married to him?
That too, but I mean, I can't fault you, man. But I can definitely say that my perspective has widened a little bit from that call in terms of the reason for the independence. Not just being independent, but if there's a certain or a particular reason for it,
right.
Then I understand it. I'm cool with it. I'm not as stern with, what it is. It was funny. I was at church a few weeks ago, and there's a lady in my church who's married, and she intends to hyphenate her name, and I was asking her why don't do it. And, I'm joking around. I'm like, don't do it. No, don't do it. And she was like, oh, my husband's cool with it. I'm like, no, he ain't. I'm like, he just don't want to fight with you. He ain't cool. I'm like, for the love of God, if you love your husband, don't do it. I don't know if I got to her. I hope I did.
No, I know quite a few men who said it is a deal breaker if their wives don't take their names. A deal breaker.
Yeah, I'm one of those dudes. But there are some men who just don't want the conflict. And just,
just because they don't say it doesn't mean they don't think it.
And that's why our show is so good.
And those,
we can be the springboard for that discussion.
Yeah. And those young ladies who have never seen, who don't think much of the men in their lives.
Yeah.
I would encourage them not to settle until they find a man worthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Worthy of them and worthy to bestow his name.
Mm-hmm.
Stay in pursuit of God and stay in pursuit of a man who will make you feel as though you would like to carry his name and you would be proud to carry his name. And don't just use that excuse, well, I've never seen anybody good enough in my area, so I'm going to hyphenate. That means that you are already predestining yourself.
Yeah.
It's
self-fulfilling prophecy.
It's like you've already made up your mind that you are going to marry a man like this, so you're going to hyphenate because that's all there is out there for you.
It's a very good point.
That's not the case.
Yeah, it's a very good point.
There are good men out there.
It's a very, very good point, man. And Jason, man, I appreciate the call, man. Appreciate your classroom, chiming in with them with those real thoughts, man. Definitely opened up my perspective. Tell your classroom, the Nifty Christian Radio says, what up? What up? What up? What up?
Hey, girls.
Let's take a quick break, man. Let's play a track from my man, Shad. This one's called Keep Shining. When we come back, we're going to discuss male escorts, Christian male escorts. Can it be done? Is it possible? And, of course, later on, I'm going to be talking with Sean Slaughter, man. So keep it locked, y'all. We'll be right back.
Here we go again.
This is Canada's number one talk show.
Roll with clever bras with goals like Fedorov, seeking better jobs instead of running scams like Set It Off. Some aren't the sharpest, but they know what they stand for. They don't let jams disrespect them on the dance floor. And know they'd ever hit college like the damn four. For damn sure, they got each other's back like a jam sport. Girls in the league are they own like Gina Davis, Nina Simone ladies, Tina Fey chicks, Christina Applegates, and Benita Applebaums. That don't mask and say nothing when you ask what's wrong. That's what's up. And they can laugh it up, and they don't pass the buck. Nothing's for certain. And we all have to trust someone. I used to want to find the love of my life. Now I'm trying to live a life of love. It's not just a husband and wife thing. It's something that Christ brings, some comfort at night. True beauty doesn't run from the light. Keep shining. Known to talk about women on a track or two. I talk to women, I just can't talk for women. That's for you, we need women for that. More women in rap, even tracks like Quali's for women. That's still only half the view of the world. There's no girls rapping, so we only hearing half the truth. What we have to lose, too much. Half our youth aren't represented, the better halves of dudes. So we don't hear about your brain, just your brains. How you Rockefeller, Stacey Dash Dames. We just need your voice like an acapella. Something in the music's gotta change. A lot of things. It's funny how words like consciousness and positive music can somehow start to feel hollow. It's become too synonymous with polishing soft collagen lips on the face of race politics. Well, you can't be everything to everyone. So let me be anything to anyone. The world turns and there's clouds sometimes, but there's no such thing as a setting sun. It always keeps shining. Taught me how to sing two parts. My sis taught me how to parallel park and try to teach me math, but she way too smart. My grandma in the 80s is still sharp. My girl cousins in activism and art. They taught me there's no curls too tight, no mind too bright, no skin too dark to keep shining. Yeah, keep shining.
Yes, yes, man. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Nifty Christian Radio Show here on NiftyChristian.com, the place for intelligent believers. Believe that. That was Keep Shining by my man Shad K. Shout out my man Shad. Mm-hmm. And this segment here, wanted to talk about an email I received from a listener who asked me about being a male escort. And as many of us know, there's sort of a negative stigma attached to that for obvious reasons. So one of the first things I wanted to clarify was what exactly are the duties of a male escort.
Yeah, because that sounds awfully close.
It sounds like prostitution almost,
mm-hmm.
right? And that was the thing that came to my head. I'm like, okay, it should be obvious. But he went on to really explain to me what his specific duties were going to be. I'm obviously not going to name the name of the person, but what he mentioned was he's basically, a better term would be a paid date. So there were a lot of rich business women out there who just don't have the time to be invested into a full-blown relationship.
Right.
So what they do is they pay somebody to accompany them to business conferences, to business meetings, mm-hmm. to client parties, things of that nature.
Right.
So our listener basically is going to be a paid date to a businesswoman's her work life, essentially, to the client parties, staff parties, so on and so forth. Nothing beyond that. No relationship.
No hanky panky.
No hanky panky. Just basically straight company is what he's going to be doing. He's also involved in a relationship with his girl, and she's basically approved it as well. So he's asking if it's okay for him to go ahead and do that. What do you think? What's based on that description? Let's say it is what it is. He's just a paid date. I don't want to use the term male escort. Let's use the term paid date instead, because that's from what he told me. That's basically what it is.
Yeah. I'm having a bit of left brain, right brain issues here, in that logically speaking, I don't see the harm in it. When viewed from when looking at it from the viewpoint of it being a paid date, mm-hmm. it's a matter of a choice of words. Because if you told me escort,
nah,
I would be like, ew. Would you be okay with your girlfriend being an escort? But paid date, it's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I also have to keep in mind that women on the whole think differently than men.
Yeah.
A girl going out with a man paying for her time,
mm-hmm.
may be expected to do a little bit more than just look pretty on his arm, depending on his mood.
Yeah, yeah.
A woman, however, paying for a man to be her date can keep it just, strictly business. She's more likely to keep it at being just that.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see, why he would think, there's no harm in it. It's going to be what it is. He's going to go for the night,
mm-hmm.
sit down, have dinner, make polite conversation, laugh, yada, 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 and come back home $150, dollars or $200, whatever it is she's paying richer.
Yeah, yeah. And he's saving for a very important goal as well. I won't mention it, but he's
okay.
There is an important goal that he really.
So there's a purpose for this.
There is a purpose. He's not just doing it just for the sake of doing it.
Just to do it.
But there's a very important goal which he's trying to save for. So there is sort of a pure motive behind it, if you will.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings. I really do. If my husband came to me with the same thing,
yeah,
we would have to really need the money for me to say okay, because I'm not sure that I would be completely comfortable.
Yeah.
I might be the one to drive him to the date and sit and wait in the car. I don't know that I would really be able to, lie back and be like, yeah, okay, whatever. He's out and on a date. He's coming back with the money. Good stuff. Because I know that he wouldn't allow that for me. Again, that boils down to the male-female dichotomy and what the different sexes think. But still, what about you? Don't you feel any sort of conflict with this?
If my wife came to me and said, I want to be a paid date, I'd be like, no, we'll find another way. I'd rather wash dishes.
And what about if a woman came to you and said, would you like to be my paid date?
No, I mean, no, this is what I was having a conversation with this person. My view is this. It's not wrong, but it's dangerous. I don't believe it's wrong to do, the whole paid date thing, but I do believe it's dangerous. And here's why. In our very, very first show years ago, we spoke about the environment. A lot of times, when a Christian sins, it's not because they intentionally want to sin. A lot of times it's because the environment that they're in kind of dictated it. For example, in the Bible, when Peter denied Jesus three times, Peter did not want to deny Jesus. That was not his intention. But he was in the house of the high priest. He was in an environment, a hostile environment, where if he told the truth, he would have been killed.
Right.
Right. So his the environment dictated his action, not his intention.
Right.
And I think a lot of times we as Christians have to realize this. Our intentions a lot of times do not dictate our action. It is the external environment, the peer pressure, whatever it may be. Right. It is, so if we control the environment that we are in, it is much easier to control the sins which we may commit. And this is what I was breaking down to the dude is, I don't think it's wrong, but I think it's dangerous, because I think you'll be continually putting yourself in an environment for you to slip either mentally, emotionally, or sexually. You're going on a date, even though it's a paid date.
It's still a date.
It's still a date.
And
right?
It's not to say that every woman has honorable intentions. There might be the woman, the odd woman, who just doesn't want to spend the night alone.
Well, outside of that, let's say that there's one client, quote unquote,
that he finds attractive,
who you connect with.
Yeah.
You know, you find attractive, but you guys have great conversation.
Yeah.
You're going to exchange numbers, and you may just be, quote unquote, friends after that. You know what I mean? And there's something can build where you can be emotionally cheating, which is, I feel, much worse than physically cheating.
Oh, yes.
Right? So I feel it is dangerous just from that standpoint, because you're putting yourself in a circumstance that could lead you to sin. You're basically doing the Peter thing by walking into the house of the high priest and saying, you know, I'm not going to deny Jesus in this environment. I'm not going to do it. That's how I kind of see what you're doing right now. You're basically being Peter, walking into the house of the high priest, thinking that you're not going to, you know, deny him. Or that may be your true intention. That may be, you probably don't have any intention of cheating on your girl. But I think you're walking into an environment that could lead you to act otherwise. And, me personally, I'd rather just play it safe and avoid the environment altogether.
So it's not wrong, but it's risky.
Not wrong, it's risky. It's like a fat dude avoiding McDonald's. You know, if a fat guy walks into McDonald's, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's dangerous because he may slip and eat something that can make him more fat, you know?
It's true.
Alcoholic, there's nothing wrong, but, you know, if they're trying to be sober, then you may want to avoid the bar.
That's true.
Right? So I kind of see it like that. So I hope that's helpful.
Well said.
I hope that's helpful. And, you know, what I would do is, you know, have someone who you respect, you know, your friends, pastor, you know, family members, somebody who you trust with this information, obviously, and discuss what I've said with them and kind of hash it out. Because, I mean, I don't know how important that goal may be, where you really might need this money, and, you know, if it's worth the risk, or I don't know. But I think you should definitely consider, you know, what Kay said as well. I mean, you know, I think she also raised a great point where if your girlfriend was offered the same gig, would you be okay with it? If she had the same motives, you know, she was saving for something important, let's say to save her parents' house from foreclosing or whatever, you know, would it be okay? I think those are all things to consider. I don't want to make it seem like I'm condemning, because I'm not at all. You know, as Kay and I have both kind of agreed here, what you're doing is not wrong in the least bit, just a little bit on the dangerous side. So definitely want to proceed with extreme caution. You know what I mean? Anything else you wanna add to
no,
that?
No, I think that was pretty well put. I think you said everything that needed to be said there.
You know, if the listeners feel like, you know, I might have missed something, hit us up, man. 1-877-44-NIFTY. Definitely want to get your opinions and chime in on that one and see how you feel about it. Because I think it was a good question. The only thing I think was wrong with the question was the wording, like escort. I don't think you're really an escort,
man.
You know, let's just word it nicely and say
escort gets him shut down immediately. We're not going to give that any thought at all. Not at all.
Oh, man. So from there on, man, we'll take a quick break. And when we come back, man, I'm gonna be my one-on-one with Mr. Slaughter.
Oh.
I'm gonna have a one-on-one with this dude.
Goody.
They got some things to hash out.
All right.
Keep it locked, man. We'll be right back after this break.
Don't touch that dial. We've got more heat coming your way. We know you like the hip-hop music, but you also want the right message in the content.
Well, let me introduce some
and present to others
the digital music source
for hip-hop's next generation.
HolyCultureDownload.com.
The people's choice for Christian hip-hop and R&B.
Bringing you all the flavors you need
from the East,
the West,
the Midwest,
the Holy South,
and all around the globe.
The hip-hop culture's not going anywhere.
Arm yourself with music representing the kingdom.
HolyCultureDownload.com.
NiftyChristian.com. Check it out for up-to-date shows and articles. NiftyChristian.com.
The Bible tells you what to do.
We tell you how to do it.
The Nifty Christian Radio Show.
Come on! Say what?
The Nifty Christian Radio Show.
What'd he say?
The Nifty Christian Radio Show.
What'd he say?
The Nifty Christian Radio Show.
What are you saying?
The Nifty Christian Radio Show.
Stop it, I mean it. Hallelujah.
Yes, 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 man. Welcome back to the Nifty Christian Radio Show. And as promised, man, I got my dude, Sean Slaughter, who is here in the T-Dot Toronto right now. Sean Slaughter, man. What's up, homie?
You? I'm good, man. I'm chilling, man. Good to be in Toronto. One of my favorite cities.
Yeah.
I'm from New York. And I always tell people, behind New York being my favorite city, I think Toronto might be my second favorite city.
That's
man.
What I'm talking about.
Love
That's what I'm
here.
Talking about.
Yeah.
I first got my introduction through you, through my boy Promise.
Okay.
You on his album back in 2002.
Yeah.
And that was basically your whole introduction to Canada.
Wow.
What was that like? Like, how did that all come together?
I met Promise probably 2 years after I got saved. Mm-hmm. Maybe two, 3 years after I got saved. He was at Winterfest. He was just some random dude that came up to me and gave me a CD, like most people do. I took it home and popped it in. It was like, yo, who the heck is this dude? It was an incredible, incredible CD, incredible lyricist. And so he asked me to be on the album, and I said, sure. So I think I had just released my second CD, The World's Not Enough.
Yeah.
And hopped on the track, man, and you know what I'm saying? I think the thing about Promise is his second CD was so different from his first CD.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was upset. Yeah, but I understood the game. I understood the industry. You know what I'm saying? But the second CD was dope. And so that's kind of how that happened.
Yeah.
And you know, it really didn't know that it was my introduction to Canada. I really didn't know what it would do. Just, I liked the dude. You know what I'm saying? He was cool.
Yeah.
Just knock it out, man. So God knows what he's doing.
That's good, man. And just, I mean, since then, like, I've been hearing about you since then a lot. You know, you got the Ham Show.
Yeah, yeah.
You're preaching. You know, spitting. You're doing sound for your pops.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I saw this interview with you, your dad, and CeCe.
Yeah.
And you spit this crazy acapella, and the crowd went nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
What was that like to be received from such an older demographic?
Well, one of the privileges that I've had for my ministry is that, you know, as a sound technician, my dad asked me to go on the road before I got saved,
mm-hmm.
and I told him no for about a year. And his engineer finally left him, and he needed somebody, so I went on the road with him, and mm-hmm. eventually got saved about 2 years later. But I've been able to, in his shows, you know, he'll let me come from the sound booth and do a track. And so I remember the first time I did a track, Pastor asked me to come up and do something, and man, I did it because I used to run with Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
So I did this hard, like, just like. So I think they clapped for me because I was like, I'm Lord of Sun. Oh, he's saved. He's saved now. Oh, he been saved for 6 months. Oh, this is sweet. And then, but I began to learn just how to, you know, how to, you know, what to do for different audiences.
Mm.
And so, you know, that track I just wrote it for a side project.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, realize that people, you know, older crowds like acapellas, they want to hear the words.
Yeah.
And so it's something I've gotten used to.
Mm.
And people, you know, people do like the idea of a father and son. People do like the idea of my testimony and where I've come from.
Yeah.
But then when they're able to hear the words and they're able to hear the depth of the words, that they're able to give hip hop a chance. And that's what I like, because I know now when they hear Christian hip hop, they hear cats like yourself or Promise or whoever, now they're going to be like, you know, I can't really knock that because, you know, I heard Sean. I heard what he did. These cats are doing the same thing. I have to give him a chance.
That's why I was so excited to see that, man. When I saw that, I'm like, yes. I mean, this cat's opening doors.
Amen.
That's exactly what it's about. Because, I mean, for so long, there's been such a cutoff from hip-hop, gospel hip-hop, because they think it's of the world.
Yeah.
So to see that on such a huge platform, I was like, Yes, you know, this. Yeah,
and it was impromptu because they wouldn't let me rap on PTO. So we actually asked them if I could rap, and they was like, we don't do rap on PTO. So it was, we kind of sneaked it in there.
You sneaked it in there. I mean, if you could choose one, though, because I know you do the speaking, the radio, the emceeing, the sound. I also know that you got some, like, a program as well, right?
I have a media arts program called JPS Entertainment. Originally it was called Life Power, but we've expanded it. I've joined two other partners.
Yeah.
And we formed a thing called JPS Entertainment. And basically, it's a media arts program for the city where we teach recording, beat production, acting and singing, and dancing. We deal with a lot of the inner city kids, a lot of those who are in poverty, those who have behavioral problems in school.
Yeah.
They come to our program, and the city has actually now tapped us as, you know, they put all this funding into gang prevention. They put all this funding into, trying to stop school dropouts and so on and so on and so forth, and it hasn't worked because the programs are corny. And so they saw our program, they saw the success that we have, and so, praise the Lord, they're funneling some of that money towards us. And, we just had a PBS just actually came and did a piece on us on what we're doing within the city. And so I personally have been doing it for about 4 years. This program that we've been doing it for about a year now.
Okay.
And so it's amazing how fast God is moving and how he's doing things. And so that's my heart. That's what I want to do with the rest of my life.
How do you manage your time, though? I mean, like, between doing all the things, how do you manage doing all of those things as well as being a family man? Like, what's your secret, man?
My degree is organizational leadership and management. I'm working on my MBA right now.
Yeah.
And so, a lot of people don't know that when it comes to organization, you know, my wife hates it because I'm the most anal dude that you meet. And so I'm all about, I remember a pastor told me a long time ago that an orderly life is a successful life.
Mm.
And so I heard that statement. And once I began to kind of really buy into that, I realized that everything that I do is time managed. It's and just from some of the people I read a lot of business management books. That's why I find a lot of enjoyment. And so I read a lot of these different books, and so my life is very orderly. Sometimes a little too orderly. I don't allow free time sometimes, but my life is very, very orderly.
Yeah.
It's very, very. I mean, I'm even, if you call me. I even take phone calls, what I'm saying, only at a certain time, or our return calls. And so I live an extremely, extremely orderly, time managed life.
Mm.
But I also think that God has created me to do three or four things at the same time.
Mm.
Actually, I was doing probably six or seven things at the same time, and I realized that I didn't have enough energy.
Yeah.
To do a lot of these different things, and plus I wasn't giving all of my energy. And so now, I just read a book. And one of the things he said was that in order to be great, sometimes you got to cut out the good things, do the great things. And so I think that's for me, that's what I'm working on, is cutting out some of these good things in order to do the great things.
Yeah.
And so I've been doing the last couple of years, shaving things, but also increasing my team.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the keys for me for the future, is that in order to do some of these things, I have to be able to manage people versus managing the actual business or managing the ministry.
Yeah.
And so that's where I'm at right now, man. With JPS, we've actually created a team that actually can manage these things, so that we don't have to always do some of these things ourselves.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
And one of those things, of course, is the Ham Show.
Yeah, yeah.
Very popular show. I've seen it grow throughout the years. Very funny show. More funnier than mine.
it's my baby.
What's your vision for the show? I mean, I know you talk about, you know, kind of the same things that we talk about here. You know, issues, politics, church. What's your overall vision for the show? Like, what are you hoping to accomplish with it over the next three to 5 years?
Well, the show started because me and Cook would go to the house, play PlayStation, play college basketball, and just talk smack and talk about all different things. And I've been privileged over the last, over the last 13 years to travel all over the world, Australia, Africa, you name it, almost all the states. And so, the one thing that I heard my dad said was, he said that that he felt like we were embedded reporters.
Mm.
That God didn't bring us around the world just so we can sit back and get old and write our memoirs one day.
Hmm.
That we were embedded reporters, and we've been to all denominations. We've seen so many different cultures. That God didn't allow us to travel just to see this stuff and then say that we've been there. But there's a responsibility with that.
It's true. That's,
and so, with us talking, I would just share my experiences, and He's like, man, we should do a radio show. And he came up with the title, What in a Ham Sandwich? It's a country saying. I never even heard it before until I moved to Virginia. And so we started the show, and the show was really, at first, just to talk about this stuff. Mm. I think the first thing that sparked it was we got this letter, and the letter was, it was a prayer cloth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And we had to send in some money for the prayer cloth, and we were like, we're going to do the show on this. This is exactly what we're talking about. And from then, you know, from that point, I became big into apologetics, Ravi Zacharias, and different things like that, and how to defend the gospel, really using the gospel to break down different aspects of life, hard questions and stuff like that. And so at this point right now, the underlying base of the show really is apologetics. Mm. It really is tackling hard issues. That's the first thing. I think the second thing of the show is, and I hate using this term practical. I don't hate it, but making almost like similar to what you're doing, making Christianity practical.
Yeah.
There's so many questions out there that get answered by cliches and blanket statements.
I agree.
And people leave the church and they heard about, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in their fiery furnace, or they hear these different things, and mm-hmm. they're great, but it's like you said, sometimes it's hard to take Daniel in the lion's den, and my wife and I are going through the midst of a nasty divorce, mm-hmm. and Daniel in the lion's den somehow just doesn't fit right now. I feel you. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I really get it. You know, God can shut the mouth of the lion, but I hate my wife right now. And I got two kids, and I'm right in the middle of a job, and so on and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
These are the issues that people face every single day.
That's true.
These are the real issues. And I think sometimes they leave church and it's like, okay, that was fun. We had a good time, but I still got to go back to this mess. Mm. And so we try to address some of the realest issues, some of the hardest moral questions that are out there. And we like to have fun as well, man. I'm a big fan of shows like Jon Stewart, The Colbert Report. And I watch these shows and I look. To me, comedians are the best social, psychological, and political people that do commentary, because they say things in the context of a joke that is so real, but people are laughing but don't know it's real. You know what I mean?
It's true.
And so one of the reasons that we do comedy and we have fun with it, because we know that some of the topics that we deal with are so hard and so sticky. Mm-hmm. And so we do the comedy almost like a Jon Stewart show, almost like a Colbert Report, mm-hmm. because it allows some of the medicine, allows some of the topics to come across a little easy. So really, what we would love to be a morning show on a college radio or even on a secular FM station. Mm-hmm. That's really where we would like to be. And talking about these topics and showing that, hey, yeah, we watch football too. Hey, we watch this too. Yeah, we saw the Soul Train Awards last night too. But here's what we think about it. You know what I mean? And we think some of the same things that you think as well, but maybe with a little slant to it, because we are Christians.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So that's kind of the idea of the show and where we want to go.
That's dope, man.
Yeah, man.
What has been the biggest testimony you've received because of the show?
Oh, man. It's so many. We have people calling in and texting us. We have people that are actually learning the Bible from our show.
Yeah.
And I remember when somebody emailed me that, I was like, oh God, I gotta step my research up. You know what I'm saying? because at some point, when you realize how much influence you have, mm-hmm. the thing is, you know, I've been doing rap for 10 years, Christian wise, and I've had more influence with my radio show than I have with my hip hop. And you begin to look around at people like Ryan Seacrest, who gets signed $1 million deals for what? For talking. No, he gets signed $1 million deals for influence.
Yeah.
And the responsibility that we have with our show is so great. And so people learning the word, learning about issues when it comes to drinking, or learning about issues when it comes to me, those are some of the best testimonies. We actually have people that take our show to their job, and just like you would, like a mechanic working, you got the radio on, they're playing our show. And the mechanics are sitting there laughing, just crying to the show, and actually begin asking questions to their Christian friend about some of the topics we're talking about. And so, to me, some of the greatest testimonies that we get is people are actually using the show to witness. Mm. They're using the show to understand more about the word. They're using the show to understand more about even the Christian culture and the Christian industry that we're in. and people seem to they're seeming to begin to question.
Yeah.
Maybe some of the things that they thought. You know, you grew up in a certain denomination, or and I don't believe denominations are bad. I just think that if the denomination becomes bigger than your God, then there's an issue.
It's an issue.
But yeah. people begin to kind of start to question stuff, and I think questions are good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? As long as we question what we believe truthfully.
Yeah.
You know, we have a God, what is this? What really is this?
Mm-hmm.
And so those are some of the things that I like to hear.
That's good, man. Yeah. Let's talk about Sean Slaughter, the artist.
Okay.
You've put out a lot of great music. The Prototype is the newest one.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, this is the first time that you stepped away from like doing all the mixing, all the engineering.
Oh, yeah.
Worked with the producer.
And it paid off.
this is my question, though. This is my personal question. Because, I mean, I've been following you, right? And I noticed, I mean, you've won Holy Hip Hop Awards. You've won another award in Virginia, was it? Virginia Award?
The Virginia Award, Carolina, yeah.
Your song was on like a Grammy-nominated a compilation. So you've had mm-hmm. success doing what you were doing before.
Yeah.
Why did you switch it then? You know what I'm saying?
Because I felt that I never had a complete album from top to bottom that was great.
Even though you had that success?
Yes. Man on Fire. Love the album.
Mm.
There's songs on there I would like to cut out. Down of the Day, really good album.
Yeah.
Songs on there I want to cut out. Was That Enough? Pretty decent album.
Is that hindsight, or is that like at the time it was
at
a joint?
At the time when I released it, I knew this wasn't my best material.
Mm.
Every single time.
Yeah.
And so each album has had great songs. And even the vision that I had where I wanted to be on a larger platform, I knew like a song like Man on Fire is not a single radio large platform song.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
a song for rappers
and street
and street yeah. and yo, that was hot, son. But you know female and kids and female kids will get with it.
Yeah,
but I knew the platform that I wanted to reach, and I knew every time I put the yeah. album out, I felt like I'm getting closer.
Mm-hmm.
I never felt like I was there yet.
Mm.
And I think Man on Fire probably was one of the closest albums that I was getting close, because I put out a song called Flesh Killer,
yeah.
which really got the response that I've always wanted.
No, but that one with JR, right?
Yes, yeah, that's yeah, one with JR. Yeah. And I wanted not a universal response. You can't make music to reach everybody, but I wanted a broader response, a broader audience,
mm.
Instead of just having rappers show up at my concert. You know what I'm saying? Rappers and heads, hip hop heads and underground dudes and I wanted more of a general public response. And so the awards and stuff were good, but I didn't take those awards. And again, because of my business mind. When I put the stuff out, I knew that the brand that I had, I knew what I was creating,
mm.
but I also knew that I was in danger of being stuck in a box,
mm.
because I did come from Wu, I did come from the street, and so I did have this real street sound, but I knew that I was getting stuck in the box. And so with Die Another Day, I began to mix it up a little bit, kind of broaden some of the musical, musicality on it.
Yeah.
Man on Fire did the same thing. If you listen to Man on Fire, like the first six tracks are so different,
mm-hmm.
because I was trying to broaden my audience. Yeah. And so each one accomplished something
yeah.
that I wanted to accomplish, but it didn't accomplish the goal that I wanted to.
Mm.
With this album, this is exactly what I've wanted to do for years.
Hmm.
It's exactly what I've had in my head for a long, long time. And obviously, because we're the body of Christ, it took people, ultimately, to bring me to that point.
Different members
from the movie that we did with the album, from the album cover. I mean, when you open up a Kanye West album and you read the credits, you read 6-7 names on one song. You read 5-6 names on one song.
That's true.
And we're thinking that Kanye is producing, and no. Some of these albums that Jay-Z and Kanye and Drake are doing, they're doing it because they have input from tons and not tons, but a large group of people that are cutting away and saying no, do this, do that, and so on, so on, so forth. And so I think that's what I was looking for, and mm-hmm. that's why I did this, because I knew that in order to get here, I had to get outside of myself, release some stuff, and allow other people to have some input.
So since this is the one that you had in your head for a minute, would you do anything differently in terms of how it was promoted, the marketing behind it? I mean, it got the South 5 mics. It made history, essentially.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's done wonders for your career. Is there anything that you do different now that, you know, in hindsight? You know, hindsight's always 20/20, but
no,
if you could.
Nothing. The only thing I wish I had was like $50,000 so I could do more marketing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But other than a big marketing budget, mm-hmm. We worked money-wise. Everything that we could do, we did.
Mm-hmm.
And the response was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we're not Cross Movement and we're not Reach Records. So we don't have, you know, Cross Movement and Reach Records, I call them the machine.
Yeah.
Because like LaCrazy is really a brilliant businessman as well. These guys have built machines where they've been able to pump out music and, you know, do very well, you know, with their albums, each one of them. And they built a brand, they built a machine. And so as an indie artist, when you don't have that backing, when you don't have that funding,
mm-hmm.
Behind you, you really have to be very, very creative.
It's true.
And how you do what you do, you have to be very wise with your money, because you are going to spend, you know, a couple of $1,000s, you know, promoting this album and putting it together and doing videos and so forth. So you have to be very creative and wise about how you spend your money.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as an independent artist with a small team, I think we did really, really well.
Mm.
And I'm really proud of this album, and I really think God gave us something really special. There's nothing different I would do. I'm actually looking, you know, down the road when we begin to work on another album, because I'm riding this one out for a minute.
I was just about to ask you that, yeah.
Well, speaking of that, we actually did a concert, so we do have a live album.
Yeah.
And a live DVD.
Nice.
They're working on. So we're mixing the live album now, which is based on the concert, which is just ridiculous.
Crazy.
I mean, it just sounds so good.
Yeah.
And we're working on prototype the live DVD as well.
Mm.
And so those will come out, album first quarter next year, DVD second quarter of next year. And so we're working on those. But right now, no, I learned a lot.
Mm.
And so there's a lot of things that I'll probably increase, but there's a lot of the same things that I'll do for this album I did for the next one.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, yeah.
If people want to contact you, man, to book you for a concert again, man, what's the best way for cats to reach you?
Best way is to go to SeanSlaughter.net.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to check us out, of course, we're on Facebook and all the social networks and so on and so forth. So go to SeanSlaughter.net and we'll kind of direct traffic from there. Check out the videos, sign a booking form. Just get at us, man.
Check him out, man. Ham Sandwich Show.
Yep.
He's on the Holy Culture Podcast. He's on the South Podcast, man. I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, man.
You, man.
Niff, you're the man, son. Appreciate you, dog.
You're listening to the Nifty Christian Show.
A righteous man before me stands. A hero, these filthy lands. A brother in arms. In heart, are you? That's really hope you get it too.
Me too.
It's a Reynolds. I'ma wrap it up like my daughter's lunch. And here's a little change for a quarter punch. These terrorists ain't playing when they mortar us. They fight a holy war, we fighting just to pay our mortgages. I understand. I work like a madman. Check the bank account and turn around like tag. Man, that's why we idolize the rich, cause they money stack thick and make us say he a bad man. And being broke ain't spiritual, neither is every day living off a miracle. I'm so tired of living like an imbecile. I wanna make my mark before I take my exit interview. So Lord, tell us how can we do this? I got major haters and they all act like Brutus. These girls walking by like they on their way to Hooters. But Jesus said he will never lose us. So it's a riddle.
Let me wrap it up, let me wrap it up, let me wrap it up. It's a riddle. Let me wrap it up, let me wrap it up, let me wrap it up. It's a riddle.
He didn't put me here for nothing, so I gotta go and do something.
It's a
riddle. I mean, why are you so mindful? Your death sealed the deal and it's final. So
it's a riddle.
I ain't living just to go to heaven. I'm trying to bring the sun down like 15 after 7.
Yeah.
But people act like they just don't care. Prayer vigil at the church and they just not there. Like Jesus is just not there. And all the praise that I'm giving them is just hot air. But please make one thing clear. If God's imaginary, how did we get here? And now
mind trying to raise my voice, but these people kill God to worship a Rolls Royce. Jay was right, Hollywood is a drug. Everybody wants they 15, printing on the screen, half naked on YouTube, dancing to the dream, trying to gain what God gives. You can't pay for self-esteem.
No way.
I do believe in the Big Bang. It's what happens when you call on Jesus' name. Then it's a riddles.
Let me wrap it up, let me wrap it up, let me wrap it up,
it's a riddles.
Let me wrap it up, let me wrap it up, let me wrap it up,
it's a riddles.
He didn't put me here for nothing, so I gotta go and do something.
It's a riddles.
I mean, why are you so mindful? Your death sealed the deal and it's final, so
it's look. A riddles.
What I'm really trying to say is that my life has been changed and it can never be the same. Like heroin needles, I can never live in vain. Like DOA, he takes away all the pain. He's erased all the shame and the glory given to me reflects off his name. Who had the cross on his back and once he rose, oh boy, it was a wrap. Yeah, it's a riddles.
Let me wrap it up, let me wrap it up, let me wrap it up,
it's a riddles.
Let me wrap it up, let me wrap it up, let me wrap it up,
it's a riddles.
He didn't put me here for nothing, so I gotta go and do something.
It's a riddles.
I mean, why are you so mindful? Your death sealed the deal and it's final, so
it's a riddles.
Yes, man. Welcome back to the Nifty Christian Radio Show here on NiftyChristian.com, the place for intelligent believers believe at. And that was my man Sean Slaughter with it's Reynolds. Let me wrap it up. And we had an interview. Mm-hmm. And as you can see, man, we really don't have beef.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a podcast war. There's no war.
You know what's funny is I've had quite a few people approach me. And asked if Sean and I had, you know, any tension between us or any beef because we do shows that tackles issues that are pretty close in nature, but of course our approach to these issues
you're
are
very different are much in your different. Approach.
So you know, Sean and I are cool, man. There's no beef whatsoever between us, man. That's my
Christians
dude right there.
Don't beef. You actually like each other.
Yeah, man. That's it's my dude right there. And
that's cute.
You know what? If you check out his show, he actually interviewed me about stuff that I got going on. For
now that's worth listening to. I would really like to hear that show. I want to hear what he asked
so,
you.
So, you know, that was kind of our approach. My show, I'm talking to him about, all the stuff he's got going on. And then if you log on to his show, he's going to be talking to me about the stuff I got going on.
So that's via holyculture.net.
Holyculture.net is a place to be. The Holy Culture podcast. A lot of our listeners check us on the podcast. But, for those of us, because our show is on other stations as well, so you can check us on hamsandwichshow.com and, of course, niftychristian.com for, each respective shows. And, support the whole Christian movement. We're both trying to do things for the Lord. We're both grinding for the kingdom.
And you both have things coming out in 2011 that's worth checking out.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's going to be a great year. And you know what, man? It's Christmas, y'all. It's Christmas, man. So, next week we probably won't be here. We won't be here next week.
Let's be honest.
I'm gonna be real.
Let's be real.
We're gonna be spending time with our families, of course, for the Christmas weekend. So, in the meantime, we hope you all stay safe. Keep giving. Remember the reason for the season.
Be blessed.
Yes, please. And thank you all so much again for joining us and for tuning in with us and for your support, your encouraging emails, phone calls, comments.
It really keeps us going, man. Mm-hmm. My man Versatile is on vacation enjoying the holidays as well, so keep him in prayer as well. And we really appreciate y'all, John, man. We really appreciate you all. I messed up that one up. So on that note, man, remember to love all those around you. Love the one above you. If you can do that, then you too can be a Nifty Christian.
Happy holidays.
Much love, y'all. Peace.
How many times should I forgive my brothers for hurting me over and over? Should I take my gun and shoot them down, or take my knife and cut them down? No, 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 no. Oh, no, no. He is my brother. Oui, 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 oui. How many times should I forgive my sister for hurting me over and over? Should I take my fist and punch her down, or take my food and kick her down? No, 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 no. Oh, no, no. She is my sister. Oui, 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 oui. Don't go hurt my brother, neither my sister. I'm a non-go killer, even if they cause I a problem. I will forgive them, even 70 times 7. Oui, 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 oui. Da 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 da. Oui, 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 oui. La da da da. Oui, 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 oui. It's all about forgiving each other trespasses. It's all about forgiving each other trespasses. Cause the Father has forgiven all of our trespasses. Oui, 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 oui. Don't go hurt my mother, neither my father. I go love and respect them, even if they cause I a problem. I will forgive them, even 70 times 7. Oui, 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 oui. How many times should I forgive my brother for doing me wrongs over and over? And how many times should I forgive my sister for hurting me over and over? Yeah. Oui, 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 oui. Yeah. La da da da.
When everybody gone and left, you say you still have Jehovah. I still have Jehovah. I still have Jehovah.
Jesus nah lift me, him nah lift me. So when the troubles of the world just a stress me, the devil won't miss me, won't come test me. But the Father in a heaven a protect me. Yo, we no have to worry or fret. You can bet on this, him never fail me yet. Me just a trust in a the Father, Jehovah, the Master, the Healer. Cause me a more than conqueror.
She when family and friends forsake you, don't make it trouble and shake you. Cause there's a God up above full of mercy and love, and in his loving arms he might go take you.
When everybody gone and left you, say you feel like Jehovah, I still have Jehovah, I still have Jehovah.
Said I never, ever, ever see the righteous forsaken, the receipt begging bread, that's the truth. And as God, that's my weakness, check this, him naga left me destitute, that's the truth. Greater is he that is in you, so the world can't have nothing against you. The devil is a liar, just him out in my shoe. Step up on him in a me Timberland boot. Jehovah nah left you, neither forsake you. So when you see one set of footprints behind you, you better remember this. Say I am the Zachary, him the Zachary, him the Zachary.
Like some vodka, get them pumps, get that weed, Botox, Gucci jeans, work that pole, drop it low, pay tuition, make that dough, get that credit, you can debit, charge it to the game with it, chop it up, make the people feel your sound, tear it down, build it up, but in the inside.
Say vanity, 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 vanity.
Sent this word to angels and they speak to you through me. Despite my wrongs, I promise I show you the good. Angels built the ladder, then I climb my way out of the hood. Been there, done that, don't wanna go back. Almost 30, man, I got no time for starter throwbacks. I'm a man up, got my hands up, no time for handcuffs. Gotta do what I gotta do to build my fam up. That's why young pups turn pit bulls and ain't afraid to pick bones. Outside it's so cold and they ain't got no homes. My dogs lust for gold bones, hope they eat from gold bowls. Stories already been told, so why is it that you don't know? Stand up my people, I seen what you've been through. My God sent his angels in heaven to assist you. Beware of the blue beast, cage my peoples in the streets. May these words from Zion saturate your dome, peace. I can hear the cherubims and the elders singing. Cause Jesus was born, died, and now he's risen. Hear the seraphims and earth the people sing. Yo, even the queen hails the king of kings. It's not about a fat white dude in a red suit. Schools taught lies, the streets taught the truth. We're in the ninth inning, stop lying and stop pretending I'm crying. Cause I'm offended, you're lying and won't admit it. Seek knowledge, draw swords and divide truth. Even demons tremble when I throw it from the booth. That one missed ya, that one grazed ya. This will be that one that front page ya. Pictures of Christ today, reality. Mere descriptions of Michelangelo's family. So when you fall on your knees, pray for me. Although my bills are paid, I got light but can't see.
Fall down on your knees.
Can I give
the moment of silence for that wicked.
Hear the angels' voices.
You're listening to
the Nifty Christian Show.